بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من والاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. And welcome with a special interview with Sister Sayyida Zaidi from the founder of Working Muslim and the author of the ebook Work-Life Balance. Sister Sayyida is an executive coach and senior advisor for McLean Stone. She recently became a founding fellow of the Harvard Institute of Coaching, and she's also a development director for First Ethical Charitable Trust, where she leads the civic engagement elements and is head of the London office. Sister Sayyida, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Actually, I'm not the development director of First Ethical Charitable Trust anymore, but I still work for them as a consultant, alhamdulillah.
No worries. And this is Aida. Today's interview is about exploring how a working Muslim can be productive during work hours. Mm-hmm. Now, normally fasting and being productive at work seem to be, for many, two states that cannot or do not exist. So what do you advise so that, you know, we can be productive whilst fasting and working at the same time?
I think, firstly, Jazakallah khair for the interview. And I think that there's some really, really important things that we need to try and cover and messages to send across. And the first one being that, of course, fasting is a pillar of Islam. But at the same time, once we sign a contract with an employer, we are in an obligation, in a contractual obligation with the organization that we're working for or for the individuals to fulfill that contract. And therefore, if you don't fulfill your contract, or if you're not putting in the effort that you were hoping to, or you're not working the hours that you've been contractually kind of obliged to work, then it just makes me wonder whether the earnings that you're getting to buy the food are actually halal. And I think that's something that we really, really need to consider quite seriously, because if we're doing the fasting and we have all of the intention, yet when we're breaking our fast, the food that we put into our mouth isn't a halal, what does that really, really mean? So when it comes to being productive, I think it's about making sure that you fulfill the obligations of fasting, but you also fulfill the obligations of any other contractual obligations that you are in. And that also actually, in my opinion, and in the opinion of a number of scholars, covers your contracts with work, but also your other contracts. And dare I say that marriage is also a contractual obligation.
Can I pick on that point about the contracts? I mean, someone say, well, I'll go to work with this mindset that I'll try to survive, not really give my best. I'm fasting, I have headaches, I'm tired. So I'll go to work every day and I'll spend the 8 hours, but I'll just be in survival mode. Is that what you mean by fulfilling the contractual obligation?
But then you're not. So let's take the job of an architect, for example. You compare yourself to the average. And so if on average somebody who's working in that profession is expected to do a certain amount of effort and is expected to have a certain number of meetings and conversations, etc., if you go in with the mindset that you're going to just go in, do the hours, and you're not actually going to be at least to the average, then I just wonder whether you are fulfilling your contract, because you might be physically present, but are you actually present in terms of being able to do the work that you've been asked to do? And also, dare I say, if you're a really good employee and you always put in 110%, then, you know, are you able to put 110% in? And I know that fasting has a massive impact upon us and our ability to kind of focus and think, particularly as we're not eating or drinking. And in some countries at the moment, the fast is going to be so long. But at the same time, just consider the effort that you have to put in. So if you're in the Middle East, alhamdulillah, a number of countries now, they actually reduce the working hours. But at the same time, you just have to think about the effort and the energy you're putting in.
But Sister Zaidi, you know, the days are long, it's tiring, you're trying to juggle with also family demands. I mean, it's almost impossible to be productive at work. And you feel, you know, you have people going to this mindset of, okay, I can't do this. This is too much. You know, what should I do? Should I just stay at home, or should I take a month off? I mean, what should I do to? Because I feel guilty that I cannot do my best at work. But at the same time, I mean, this is the best I could do. I'm really just tired.
Yeah. So if you are aware that is how your body will respond, then my advice to you is, there's two or three different things that you can do. The first thing is be aware of that, and inshallah, next year, plan in advance so that if you can take time off, or if you can take the last 10 days of Ramadan off, or if you can just work half days through the month, then do that. And yes, you might say, well, I then need to use my annual leave for that. And actually, yes, you do, because if you've been given 20 or 25 days of holiday and you choose to use it in this way, in the cause of Allah and for your akhirah, then you will be rewarded for that. The other thing is that if you're aware that it's going to be really, really tough for you, it's never too late to say to your employer, well, look, these are the tasks that I was doing before. This is the impact that Ramadan will have upon me. Can I do something different? I still want to come to work. I'm still here. But how can you help me so that I can be the best employee that I can be for you? And a lot of us work in organizations where there's non-Muslims or where there's different tasks that you can do. And you can just work around that. I think that if you approach your employers, 9 times out of 10, they will be helpful, because actually, there's a lot of research that's been done in organizations in the City of London, and I'm talking about internationally known organizations, where they want to have Muslim employees, and they want to have them because they're honest, they're trustworthy, they put in the effort, they turn up to work without a hangover, etc. So there's a lot of good for organizations to have Muslim employees as well.
And from fasting to sort of the long Taraweeh prayers, if someone has a choice between attending late night Taraweeh prayers or Tahajjud prayers and wake up really early in the morning for work, how could you sort of strive to achieve both? I mean, people argue that Ramadan is the month of spirituality and focus on the month to make the most, get the reward, but how would they balance that with waking up early and, as you said, keeping up with the contract?
So, I mean, my advice at the moment, because the fasting day is going to be so long, is literally to shift the way you sleep. So, what I did last year and what I'm planning to do again this year is literally stay up at night. So, I've changed my hours at work, so I probably need to turn up at 10 o'clock, which means that if I go to sleep at 4, then I can wake up at 9. It doesn't take too long to, if you're not having breakfast, etc. So between 4 and 9, what's that? 5 hours sleep. Go to work, do whatever I need to do, and then when I come home, have a couple of hours before Maghrib. And if that means that I can fulfill my contractual obligations to an employer, but also then take part in the additional prayers at night, then why not? And the other thing I think it's important to say is that Taraweeh is very, very recommended, but it's not fard. And I think we need to make sure that we prioritize the things that are fard upon us over the things that are recommended but not fard.
Excellent. Moving on to work environment challenges. I mean, what advice would you give to those who are fasting among a sort of non-Muslim colleagues? How will they answer their concerns, questions? Should they try to hide that they're fasting? Should they try to maybe, because there'll be lunches and meetings and there'll be food around. Should their colleagues have special considerations for them because they're fasting?
Well, this is an excellent question, and I think that there's lots of advice that's available. Alhamdulillah, Working Muslim has produced the Working Muslim Guide for Ramadan for employers and for employees. And last year, there were 3,000 downloads of it on the day that it was launched. And this year, I've been getting emails from Australia, New Zealand, even the Middle East, South America, saying we need this guide translated in our languages so that we can actually implement what you're suggesting in our workplaces and hand them to our non-Muslim employers. Because I think the other things, at the end of the day, as a Muslim, you can't just turn up and say, oh, by the way, I'm fasting, I can't do this and I can't do that. Because what impression of Islam are you giving? And if you are fasting and you're working in a non-Muslim environment, it's an excellent opportunity for da'wah. The questions that you get enable you to talk about what your faith means for you. Most of the time, someone will see you kind of sneaking away, maybe to go and pray, And that's actually for, because we lack confidence in our deen. Why not just be open and honest and say, you know, you're going to pray? But when it comes to fasting, it's so obvious because you're not having your coffee, you're not getting a drink of water, and use that as an opportunity to talk to people. What's really wonderful as well is that there's now a lot of charities, both kind of Muslim and international NGOs, that actually do something in Ramadan where you can get a non-Muslim to fast with you and then raise some money. Mm-hmm. So they then experience the benefits of fasting in terms of their body kind of adjusting. But I think also it brings some spirituality to them as well, regardless of whether they accept that or not. And it gives you an opportunity to have a conversation with somebody about why fasting is important for us and raises some money for wonderful causes as well.
And regarding praying at work, you mentioned that point. If someone is like their only Muslim employee, how can they overcome the challenge of praying at work, whether they have a prayer room or maybe they know you don't even have a prayer room? Again, sometimes for some reasons, some people feel shy, as you said. They don't want to sort of trouble the employer with the demands of a Muslim and need a place to pray. So how will someone overcome this challenge and really confidently be able to say, I need to pray and a place to pray and actually pray on time and develop a habit of praying at work even after Ramadan?
So and that is such an important point, because if you are working in a job where you're unable to pray, my advice, no matter how challenging and difficult is try and change jobs. But before you get to that stage, there's lots of things that you can do. And if I give you the example, the worst organization that I worked for was a very well-known one. I spoke to my boss, I asked for a facility, they said yes, but nothing happened for a couple of years. And throughout that time, I prayed in the store cupboard that was literally big enough for the musalla. And I spoke to facilities management and I said to them, look, this is what I need to do, how can you help me? And they will go out of their way. Well, you just, and if one person doesn't, then ask somebody else. And if they don't, then keep asking, because at the end of the day, Allah will open that door for you. One of my sisters, subhanAllah, may Allah accept it from her, she never had a prayer room where she worked, and she just had an A4 piece of paper that said, please don't disturb me, I'm praying. She put it on her desk and she prayed literally at the desk.
MashaAllah.
And at the beginning, people thought that was a bit weird, but you know what? After a while, they respected her for having the courage to do it.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. I think that's what's important. You need that courage. You know, they're not hiding identity. And subhanAllah, as I said, it could be a very, very good venue for da'wah.
MashaAllah.
Now, sometimes I get questions from night shift workers. They say, how different is it for night shift workers to balance Ramadan and then night shift work? You know, they cannot attend Taraweeh prayers. You know, can they pray Taraweeh at work while, you know, night shift? Maybe they're security guards, maybe they are, you know, doing some night shift, maybe the hospital. How will they manage their spirituality work balance?
So, I mean, if you're working at nights, then you need to be mindful of being able to fulfill the tasks that are needed for that you're being employed for. So if you're a security guard, then don't let your quite right desires to pray additional prayers and to pray through the night affect your obligation to the employer that you're working for, even if it is a night shift. And I know it's really, really difficult, but I come back to the fact that Taraweeh is not a fard, and yes, we want to do it. So maybe I would say to you is that on your days off, go, make sure you do all of your Taraweeh, make sure you do all of your night prayers on your days off, and just accept the fact that you're in a difficult situation and you can't do everything that you want to, because at the end of the day, your halal earnings are so important, and it's one of the key things, you know. When I understood this, it really, really scared me, in that you might be going to a butcher's and buying halal meat, but if your money's not halal, is that meat halal for you? And that is what I would say to anybody who's in a difficult situation, or working through nights, or doing shift work, which means that their kind of Ramadan is affected. You keep your spirituality through you remembering the fact that you're doing your job so that you've got halal food on the table, a halal roof over your head, you know, and that actually you're pleasing Allah even by being there. And if your intention for going to work is to provide food for your family and to look after others, then inshallah, Allah will reward you for that.
Inshallah, inshallah. And what about working mothers? I mean, you're a working mother, you have two beautiful children, mashallah,
mm-hmm.
and you have a coach, and you're a coach as well. So what advice would you give to working mothers who want to balance their work, family, and spirituality?
I think the thing is, one of the key things really is just about being organized and working out exactly what you're going to do. So in this summer, it's going to be the summer holidays as well. And, you know, maybe pooling together with friends and kind of saying, actually, you know, you do some activities for the kids, we'll do some activities for the kids, and just working out how you can actually help each other. And so this Ramadan, we're inshallah, because I think the thing is, look, my kids are 8 and 6 and a half,
mashallah.
And they're not old enough to do the long fasts. I mean, alhamdulillah, they're both keen, but I think it wouldn't be healthy for them to because of the length of time. So what else can I do? There's going to be some summer schools available for them to go to, and we will go out of our way to make sure that they do that. What's really important is, alhamdulillah, I have an incredibly supportive husband, so he will help with that, so we will take turns. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one of the keys as well, because if you are working and you are a mom and you've got kids and you've got, you know, siblings and parents and other obligations as well, then sharing the tasks between your spouse is very, or with other members of your family, is very important, because they will then also get the reward too. But just make your list of the key things that you need to do every day. And, you know, one message for sisters, I had somebody ask me just today, they said, are you going to be arranging any iftars? And I said no, and they looked quite shocked, and I said, actually, because if you arrange an iftar, it puts a huge burden upon you, and it means that you might not be able to go for Taraweeh.
Mm.
So just work out what the key things that you need to try and achieve and focus on them.
What sort of, you mentioned right now making a list, what sort of, I'll ask you, habits, routines, something you do each day during Ramadan which helps you stay productive?
I'm very clear about what I want to try and achieve each day. And I don't just mean in terms of the, you know, the mundane tasks that we do of life and the five prayers a day and having the right attitude towards things, but just little things like, you know, today I'm going to be really polite to everybody that I see, or today I'm going to be really mindful, today I will pay attention to X, Y, and Z. And if you approach the morning, or if you think that in the morning, then it's amazing how much impact that has on the rest of the day and how much calmer you feel. And particularly for working mums or people who've got a huge amount to do, it's the stress, I think, that takes the energy away. And if you're able to maintain dignity and be calm and relaxed, then it's just amazing how much more productive your day can be and how much more you fit in and how less angry you get. And I think especially in Ramadan, because we are so tired and we're just constantly looking forward to the end of the day for when we can have a drink, let's say, especially when it's hot, then we do kind of get more angry and we snap easily. And I think be aware. So every day, one of the things I would say to myself is, today I will be mindful and I will not get angry. And it sounds silly, but you know the impact that it has. I recommend everyone tries it. And the impact that it has is incredibly powerful.
SubhanAllah. Is there any class sort of recommendation on working Muslim role models, from whose examples, you know, we could learn from, get inspired from?
Oh, that's such a big question, because, you know, mashallah, there's so many role models that we have that are out there today. But I think for me, one of the key ones, in fact, I just go back to the Sahaba, and I would say that my inspiration comes from the four wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that they were all just such amazing women, and they were fantastic wives, but they were also fantastic at the jobs that they were doing. They all did dawah work. They all were really, really active in their community. And I think just one important message for sisters as well is that, you know, we can go out to work and we can be active and do all of these other things, but we also have to remember what our obligation is, and our obligation is to our husbands. And so if you're not married, then seek to get married. And if you are married, remember, you know, if you keep your husband happy and you do your five pillars of Islam, you can choose which gate of Jannah you enter Jannah from. It's not hard, but you just have to remember what your purpose is and why you're doing what you're doing.
Is there any last advice for our productive members regarding Ramadan and productivity?
Just be clear, be focused, pay attention to what you want to do today. Only worry about tomorrow from the impact that today will have on it, inshallah. And just everything that you do, do it for the right intention. And always try and check your intention, because if that's not right, then even though you might be praying and doing all the actions and fasting, it may never get accepted if your intention isn't sincere.
Hazel, thank you very much for a beautiful interview packed with advice. I will put the links to your guide, Working Muslim Guide to Ramadan, for employees and employers, as well as your work-life balance. Thank you very much, and I hope everyone benefited a lot from this interview, just like I did. Jazakallah khair. Subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, ashhadu la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.